Milo's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Can dancing not only make us feel better physically, but also emotionally? Can dancing help us through trauma, anxiety, and PTSD? Today, we learn more about dance therapy. Thanks for listening, and thanks for subscribing to Learning More. Okay, for those of you that have been listening for a bit, there's no doubt that you heard our episode about PTSD. This was one of our more popular episodes, and in the episode, which by the way is available in the description of this podcast, we learned about childhood trauma, PTSD, and CPTSD, as well as other anxiety and depression issues. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about this. I'm talking with another representative from STARC, a lab that researches stress, trauma, and anxiety. She is a neuroscientist, Lana Grosser. Thank you for joining me today, Lana.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so I said neuroscientist, but you're also a dancer, and we'll get into that in a second. But first, let's talk about the science side. You are looking at how trauma reshapes the mind. Can you tell us a little about that research?
Yes. So I work primarily with kids who have resettled in the United States as refugees of Syria and Iraq. And these kids have faced civil war trauma, the stress of forced migration, life in resettlement camps, and discrimination here when they've resettled in the United States. And so the goal of our research is to really try to understand how all of these different experiences that these kids have had changes their nervous systems and the way that they respond to the world, as well as their overall health. And the good thing is that most kids are very resilient. They can overcome a number of different challenges. However, for some kids, even if they don't have any of the kind of mental health difficulties, there still might be an impact on their physical health, these kind of lasting scars of the trauma that the body contains. And so it's important for us to be able to look and see how the body has been changed by that trauma. So we look at things like responses to stimuli in our environment, especially those that may cause us to startle or feel fear. We also look at how we may react when we tell our trauma story. So we use an app on our phones and two small sensors that we can plug into our phones, just like headphones, for example. And we attach those to the fingers and we measure changes in sweat when we're talking about those traumatic experiences. And that can be a predictor of people who may experience more severe symptoms of disorders like post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety. And then finally, we also look at inflammation in the body. So when you get sick, your immune system mounts this inflammatory response to fight off different pathogens. However, we also mount this response when we're feeling stressed out and when we're exposed to trauma. And some of us may continue to have this response long after we've experienced trauma. And this may be one of the reasons why people who have experienced trauma in their past experience significant physical health concerns later on in life.
It's so interesting that when you think of trauma, you think of the brain and not really the body. And I guess, well, you've sort of thought about that for a while. And the reason why I brought up dancer earlier is dance therapy is something that you're working on. What made you get into this?
So I myself have been a dancer my whole life. I've been dancing since I was 2 years old. And at first, it was a great thing for such an energetic child as myself to have that space to release all that energy, And as I got into middle school, high school, and was dealing with some anxiety, with depression, it really became a space for me to go and escape. When I was dancing, I just felt completely free. I didn't have any of these worries bearing me down, and I felt light and weightless, and I could use dance as a way to express myself and how I was feeling, whether I was feeling really good or even when I was feeling really down. And so in college, I actually had a health psychology professor at Michigan State who tasked us with writing a paper on two different ways to address a health condition. So one being a more common way that we may immediately think of when we think of the health condition. So say, for example, depression, you may think of medications like serotonin selective reuptake inhibitors or SSRIs. And then he challenged us to also think of a different type of treatment that may be less familiar to us. And so I found dance movement therapy, and I actually had a friend who was a dance movement therapist and offered an exemplary class. And I took this class, and I could just immediately see that this is something that could really help people and that not enough people know about. So that's kind of what set me on this path of research.
Is some sort of physical therapy necessary, do you think, for somebody that has trauma, and not just the mental therapy, but also a physical therapy?
I do. I think it's so important because, you know, our emotions are reactions to what happens to us. And these emotions live in the body. When we have an emotional reaction, it's not just how we may think or may verbalize how we're feeling, but it's also the way that our facial expression changes. If you're feeling anxious, for example, you may feel your shoulders creeping up to your ears. If you're sad, you may feel like you're hunching over. Or if you're faced with trauma, you may feel either like you need to fight or run away, or maybe you just freeze because you have no way of escape. So there are all these bodily manifestations of our emotions, and sometimes we don't always get the chance to work through those and recognize them. Trauma really does live in the body. There's a great work by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk called The Body Keeps the Score. And I just think that this is the perfect way to represent that concept. And sometimes we're not even able to say or verbalize what has happened to us, right? Some of us may not be able to unlock these traumatic memories in a verbal manner, and movement therapies, different physical therapies can help. Another important point is that many people who experience anxiety disorders, depression, post-traumatic stress, they also have a number of somatic or physical symptoms. So things like chest and back pain, other joint pain, stomach pain, headaches, dizziness. So a lot of our different medications and sometimes talk therapy may not always fully address these symptoms. And they can be really important contributors to distress and dysfunction. And those are two key facets, actually, that are critical for diagnosing someone with a condition like PTSD or anxiety. So it's important for us to address the whole person and all of their symptoms. And so using some sort of physical experience, some sort of bodily integration in the treatment process can be really beneficial.
Therapy is generally, let's say, not very generic, right? It's very tailored to the individual. Is dance therapy mm-hmm. something that's prescribed to the individual, like very unique per the individual, or is it something more in like a group setting?
So dance movement therapy can be done either with individuals or in a group setting. And there are certainly different benefits to both. When you're in the group setting, you have that added kind of social support structure. And there are these four main tenets that those group sessions are really built around. You can remember it as CoL. So community, openness, acceptance, and love. So when you're in the group setting, you have the opportunity to observe as well as to be observed and to kind of learn from one another and be able to share your story. There's also the space for individualized movement therapy. And in all of this, I think it's really important to note that this is not like going to the ballet classes that I grew up with being a trained dancer. And it's not like going to a salsa class either. Dance movement therapy is really about using guided improvisation, nonverbal emotional expression, and just moving the body in whatever way feels right for the individual and for those who may be working together in the group. So it certainly is customizable. Something very cool that we see in some of the groups we've ran is as we learn, you know, what do these kids enjoy, then they can kind of start to take the lead and tell us this is what they like, this is where they'd like to dig in deeper, and this is what they need. So we always try to cater it toward those needs.
Yeah, it's not, you know, you're throwing on YMCA and people are dancing. It's very tailored, where I would assume you're looking at their individual movements. So there's a bit of a symbolism to their movement, where you're taking a look to see, kind of like you said earlier, where, you know, if the shoulders are down, they're potentially showing that they're more stressed. Is that where you're like kind of digging into those individual movements with the person?
Certainly. The dance movement therapists make a number of different observations about the movement that different individuals engage in. So whether the movement has different qualities, whether there's the quality of tension there or relaxation, whether there are different types of shapes and angles being made. So are there more sharp 90-degree square-like angles, or are there more circular, free-flowing and fluid movements? And the dance movement therapist can learn from these movements, you know, manifestations of the individual's emotion. They can also be used to help someone recognize when they may be in a certain emotional state or reacting to something in their environment, because there are a number of different sensory stimuli that always accompany any stressful or traumatic event we're exposed to. And we actually remember the scary, dangerous, bad thing that happened and associate all of the other potentially neutral stimuli that are around us when that thing happens, like the time of day, the smells, the sights, the sounds. And so then when we encounter those smells, sights, sounds, and other neutral stimuli again, we may have these reactions that could be conscious or unconscious, and we may start to react as if we were in danger again. So with movement therapy, we can help to learn how to recognize what that feels like in our bodies, and then realize that we're kind of going into this emotional state, yet we are safe. So we can help ourselves to calm down and know that we're at a safe place.
You know, I would also think that just kind of the art of dancing, right? It takes us back to, in a way, like those happy moments in our lives, right? You know, our high school prom, or, you know, weddings, or whatever it is. So I assume that there's something there that like that too, like kind of flashing back to those moments and making us feel a little nostalgic about the good moments in life.
Definitely. And the human body had always wanted to move. We've been moving and dancing and using our bodies to express ourselves since the dawn of civilization, be it for joyous celebrations or for religious practices, or even especially in the ancient Egyptian culture, to mourn the loss of loved ones. In the funeral procession, they used to have dancers whose specific role in society was to be the mourners and to use their bodies and their movements to mourn losses. So we can have both those joyous celebrations and kind of those representations of mourning and loss as well in our movement. It's really so open, so that we can make anything out of moving the body. And it's something that is likely going to be really familiar to us. And again, like you mentioned, associated with some fond memories. Now, movement certainly isn't for everyone, though. Some people may be very averse to dancing or think that that sounds really scary. And that's okay, too. That's, again, why it's important to know you're not coming to a dance class. We're not going to be doing Dancing with the Stars here. And it's always an invitation, you know, to participate and to engage as much or as little benefits you. And also to recognize that, you know, just like a medication or another type of therapy may not be the best for everyone, the same could be true with movement therapy. It's just another amazing tool in our toolkit that we want people to know more about and to have the opportunity to engage in. Because our research from both my lab and others is indicating to us that it really could be very beneficial.
All right. And we'll talk more about that research and a little bit more about dance therapy. We'll take a short break here. We'll be right back with more. If you enjoy history, maybe you're just feeling a little nostalgic, or you wonder who's having a birthday today, or maybe you need a reason to celebrate. Well, we've got the perfect podcast for you. It is called This Is Today. And each and every day, we talk about the historic events, celebrity birthdays. We also talk about whatever is going on today. There's always something to celebrate when you listen to This Is Today. And at just 10 minutes each day, you can make it a daily habit. You can even add it to your Alexa Flash briefing. Click the link in the description or just search in your favorite podcast app for This Is Today. And welcome back to Learning More. We're talking about dance therapy today, and I'm talking with Lana Grosser. So, okay, we talked a little about your research. We touched on that. Typically, this is like small groups, right? It's that's where research starts, and then it rolls out to a little bit bigger groups. Are you rolling this out? I think you're rolling this out into schools, correct?
We are. So over the course of the pandemic, we've really seen a great need for an increase in mental health services across all levels, for children, for adults, for people who have previously struggled with symptoms, as well as people who have never experienced any symptoms before, but now may, because of the different changes to our world that the pandemic has brought upon us. So what we've done is partnered with some local school districts and worked on rolling out these programs through their online virtual learning platforms. So the benefit of that is that kids are already coming to their screens and to their platforms as part of their regular school day. And then we can integrate this programming into that regular school day to offer them an opportunity for some stress relaxation and just for some physical movement as well. And of course, a chance to engage in the art and to feel this sort of mastery of a skill, being able to create movement and to share their movements with others.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things as a parent that I saw. There's no exercise involved. There's no PE. There's no like real movement. So it's great that you're moving this into specifically the online side of things, because I think that's really needed. My kids are not getting any exercise and they're in front of a screen all day long. And then what do they want to do at night? Well, they want to be on screen with their friends. So this is great. One of the things that my son has been playing, Fortnite, and Fortnite has all of these dances in there, right? Is that something that we should encourage with the kids? Go do some of those Fortnite dances just to make yourself feel better.
Yes, I absolutely love that. When I was working with kids a few summers back when Fortnite first came out, we would, you know, ask everybody to either do a dance move to introduce themselves, or if we would have free dance time. I learned all the Fortnite dances. So I think that's awesome. If you can even just put on some music in the household and encourage everyone to just move or clap along with the rhythm of the music, moving to those rhythms can be so therapeutic for people. In fact, just on my yoga class this morning, which also was a virtual Zoom class, a yoga teacher was sharing with us some research about the power of music and movement and moving to rhythm. And he was even saying that there was a study where surgeons were listening to music in the operating room, and they were finding that these surgeons who were listening to music were having better surgical outcomes, and even their patients really were doing better after the fact. So wow. I think if you can just put on that music in your home, and even if you, as an example, start moving along to it, not really caring about what you look like or how good the steps are, even what the steps are, it's fantastic. I would also say taking some time to just breathe together every day and have a breathing practice so that you can teach your kids and yourself that just taking 3 deep breaths can really help us to pause and to calm down. When I work with kids, I actually tell them that this is a superpower that they have. We have this nerve that runs from the center of our bodies up to our brain, and it's called the vagus nerve. And when we breathe deeply, when we're moving our stomachs in and out as we fill up with air and then squeeze all the air out, what happens is we physically push on this nerve and activate it. And when that nerve is activated, it tells our rest and digest branch of our nervous system, okay, we can calm down, we can relax. And it tells our fight or flight branch of the nervous system, we don't need you right now. We're not going to go into a reactive state. We're going to remain calm. So even if you can just build in that practice of breathing together every day, it's such a great thing that you can share with your kids.
I have the Apple Watch and it just gives me that little reminder to breathe every once in a while. And I got to tell you, it really works. When I'm when I'm working throughout the day, I get that little reminder. I pause for a little bit, take a couple of breaths, relax for like 1 minute or so, and I feel so much better afterwards. And the thing is, it's like taking that break too, you feel so much more focused afterwards. You know, just by that little bit of break there. You know, it's interesting you bring up yoga. And like, I'm thinking the meditative state of dancing, right? My art is really like podcasting, right? That's where I find myself relaxing because I'm so in the moment. I'm trying to, you know, move the story through, think about edit points, thinking about all of these various things that go into producing the podcast that I'm not thinking about all of the stressors in life, right? I'm very focused on this. Do you see dance therapy kind of doing that same thing?
Definitely. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about being in the moment. So if we can be immersed in our movement, caught up in our dance, caught up in the movement and expressing ourselves, expressing our story, then we're really rooting on the here and now and what we're doing, right? We're really focusing on how we're moving our body through space, what's around us. And that's so important, you know, no matter how you do it, whether it's through those dance moves or if it's through podcasting or taking a yoga class or meditating or reading, focusing on that present moment and the here and now. So that we're not thinking about what do I need to do tomorrow or what do I need to achieve in the next few weeks or what happened yesterday that may have not gone according to my plan. Mm-hmm. We're just thinking about right now.
Yeah. I mean, our minds are so busy. It's nice to just kind of switch them off every once in a while. And the best way to do that sometimes is to switch on something else and you just just get into it. If people wanted to do dance therapy, what is their best start? How do they get started into something like this? Where do they go? What do they look for?
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is you can switch on your favorite song and dance at home anytime that you'd like. And if you'd like to take your practice even further and find a dance movement therapist to work with or a dance movement therapy group, you can go to ABTA.org. And you'll be able to find dance movement therapists in your area if you're living in the state. And of course, there are fantastic networks of dance movement therapists all across the globe as well. So look out for a dance and movement therapist in your area and try to find a group that's being offered. Now, if you can't, there are a number of fantastic videos like most things on YouTube where you can learn some of the techniques from dance therapy that you can apply in your daily life. And of course, like I said, you can also invite your friends to a park or over to your home for a dance party and just carve out space for movement in your own life. And find a way to move daily that suits you.
I like it. And also find something that is going to put you in that zone. You know, something like, like I found podcasting through the pandemic. And I feel like a lot of people, like that was one of the positive aspects of the pandemic. I think a lot of people found something else that's going to motivate them, some sort of passion project. However, you know, there is kind of one of the negative sides of the pandemic, which was really like a lot of people, a lot of doctors specifically, predicted that the next pandemic would be a mental health pandemic, right? Something that is going to affect us and impact us for years because you've got the stressors of the virus, you've got the isolation, you know, without other people. Are you seeing data on this where we are starting to see more anxiety and more depression because of the pandemic?
Definitely. So the Anxiety and Depression Association of America was commenting on some recent research that showed us that rates of anxiety and depression in kids have nearly doubled, and we're seeing similar increases in adults as well. this is really important because mental health not only costs us all individually when we're not doing our best, but it costs our communities, it costs our country, and it costs our overall world and how we function. So it's really important for us to prioritize mental health. And this is unfortunately at a time where we do budget cuts to things like arts and sports programming in school. And yet mastery of a skill, so be that being a great artist or musician, dancer, sports player, whatever it may be, is actually considered one of the three main factors of resilience. So that's meaning what can help keep us going even in the wake of hardship and stressful times. The same was actually true with many of the refugee resettlement offices that I work with. When their budgets were cut, the first thing to go was the mental health programming. So it's really important that we as a society are investing in these programs, not just for once someone is experiencing clinically significant symptoms and is having a hard time functioning in their daily life, but all throughout our lives, that we're promoting positive mental health practices, that we're learning stress coping skills, and that we have these resources in our schools and in our communities. Because that's really how we'll be able to reach the most people and have the greatest impact. So we definitely need strong investment here in community-level mental health.
Lana, thank you so much for helping us learn more about dance therapy.
It's my pleasure. I hope you all move a little bit today.
I should have maybe put on the more upbeat version of the theme song here. I didn't plan this out very well. All right. Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to Learning More. And also remember to check out our daily podcast called This Is Today, where we talk about like those historical things, kind of try to bring them into modern context, talk about things like that. It's super fun. It's a lot of fun for me, at least. Hopefully you check it out and you enjoy it as well. It is called This Is Today. There's a link in the podcast description. Hey, next week here on Learning More, we are going to talk with author Mark Woolen. Yeah, he is talking to us about inherited family trauma. This is an amazing topic. If you have not heard about it, you definitely got to make sure that you listen next week to this one. And again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next week.